K-Mud Podcast presents.
Good morning and welcome to Heart of the Earth. This is a program about Native Americans and other indigenous cultures. My name is Agnes and I'll be with you until 10 a.m. And support for KMED comes from Soham Health's Garberville Optometry, now serving Southern Humboldt with its mobile optometry unit, offering eye exam screenings and treatment for eye-related conditions. Glass fittings and contact lenses are also available. They're open Tuesday through Thursday behind the Garberville Pharmacy. More info at sohamhealth.org/optometry or 707-923-3921. And I opened with Blackfire's version of the American Indian Movement song, because today I'm finally going to play some of that Leonard Peltier conversation I had with him. Friday is his birthday. He's going to be 81 years old. I sent him off some pictures and a happy birthday greeting last week. And so I'm really excited to play this, although I have to say, I really want to thank Patrice up in Arcata who edited this. And there's a few, still a few words she missed, and in doing this recording when I started out, it was really difficult, and so for like the first 10 minutes or so, the caretaker had come in and turned on the TV, so you hear this TV in the background, and Leonard's talking slow, so I'm going to be moving it up and down, so don't try to call me because I won't be able to answer the phone. I really have to watch the levels. I really wanted to even make this more cleaned up, but I know how much people really wanted to hear this. And so, and then after the television goes off, there's a little bit of a hum in the background. Then after that, it's just fine. You can hear them really clear. So yeah, about the first 15 minutes, it might be a little hard, but, bear with it because it's worth listening to. And, when I was talking to him, especially, like when you talk to an older person, they start remembering things from way back when. So he told a lot of old stories from way back when, stallion horses and all kinds of stuff. So just enjoy his words and know that he sends his greetings to everyone. I wanted to play as much as I can. So I'm going to play about 45 minutes. And then in the next couple of weeks, I'll be playing more of it. But so this is at the beginning of it. And again, bear with the TV in the background and all the, the noises and stuff. But it does get better. The one thing I wanted to tell you about was, one of the FBI agents involved was Richard Helm.
Yeah.
Well, when the bombing of Judy Berry happened,
Before
any police, anybody came, within 5 minutes, Richard Helm was there at the bombing site of Judy Berry.
Yeah.
So we knew that the FBI was involved somehow in that. At 6 weeks prior to Judy Berry's bombing, the FBI held a bomb-making class at the local community college. And so that was the one connection. And as soon as I saw that name, I was just said, whoa, it was still happening,
I'm very familiar. Like I said, I've been involved politically since I was a kid, really. But they did base good as same thing to the American Indian Movement. I was in a number of different organizations, by the way, before I joined the American Indian Movement. I was involved in one of the leadership of the Fort Lawton takeover in Seattle, Washington. We have a multi-billion-dollar structure on there today to help. It's a cultural group, alcoholic and drug treatment center, educational center, university there. It's quite a compound that we have there now. It's been there for over 50 years, of course. But I was involved in the leadership on that, one of the things. But I was also involved in fishing and hunting struggles. Then, of course, back when I was in a boarding school here in North Dakota, that was a hell, a living hell in itself. If it wasn't, the presidents wouldn't be making comments about it. Positive. Same way with the Catholics. The Catholics are now the Pope, which I'm close associated with, Francis, and now the current one, have admitted. It took us years to get them to admit what they did. And if it wasn't true, they wouldn't admit it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people want to deny this shit. They don't want to acknowledge that these things really took place against us, Native people here in this country. And, you know, they tried to portray us as a bunch of savages. We were running around killing each other, eating each other, and had no languages, had no nothing. That's all a lie. It was all a lie from the beginning. And if you read Christopher Columbus's journals, you'll see it was. He said these were probably the most beautiful people, healthy, intelligent, religious, and I mean, you know, that's out of his own journals. And they made good servants, is what he ended in his journal.
Well, yeah, I went to Catholic school, ninth grade. I lasted not even one semester. And I got kicked out because I told the principal that this horrible, horrible mean nun, that she needed to practice what she preached, that she was the most unchristian person I ever met in my life. Yeah. And, you know, of course, they kicked me out. But I couldn't take it.
I was just talking to my friend this morning, and she was telling me, she said, we do this rosary 2-3 times a day. I said, "Whoa, you guys do a lot of sinning then, huh? What do you guys do to sin like that?" And she said, "Yep." So I don't know what she said. And I don't know, now she's going to be mad at me again. But, I'm thinking, why do they got to pray so much? Why do the priests and the nuns, they got to constantly pray? Why? What do they do to commit sins? I mean, well, we know. The priests were molesting kids, and the nuns were having babies and burying them, and killing them and burying them. So that's why you were having all them rosaries and have to pray every day to ask God's forgiveness. Because I could never figure it out. I thought they were holy. I thought they were, you know, sinless.
Yeah.
But I'm glad I got away from it when I was 9 years old.
Yeah, I got away from it.
I'm still a very active religious person, though. I believe in my culture. I believe in my religion. Yeah. I'm a sun dancer. I believe that, you know, we practice one God, Great Spirit. Nobody knows who he is. We know somebody created this. Somebody created this world. Something did. The Great Mystery, we call them the Great Mystery. But, you know, we don't, we know there's a God. We know there's something created.
God.
That's what I believe. Yeah.
So, have you been able to participate in any ceremonies since you've been home?
We had the first one we had was called a UEP here, right here in my living room. And then we had a pipe ceremony. And then I was allowed to go to the Sundance for 4 days in South Dakota last week. So I've been able to participate. Then we're going to have another pipe ceremony tomorrow, I think, because one of my spiritual leaders is coming down. So,
is that Lenny?
Lenny, yeah.
Yeah. I think he's coming with Tony. Yeah. We usually meet up at Wombly. Yeah. Which is happening right now. I think today's tree day. And
we're some dancers together.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was shocked at how many people listened to our words, American Indian words. And you want some coffee?
No, thank you.
You sure?
Yes.
Some juice or something?
No, I'm fine.
You sure?
Yeah.
Can I get a fresh up?
Yes.
Please. How many young people are on the Pine Ridge alone, they got over 80 sun dances. That's when I was left. Wow. We were lucky to have one.
Yeah.
I'm really shocked that, and they're not coursing around.
No, I sun dance.
Doing it half ass. And I watched them and I said, "Whoa, even us guys weren't that strong."
Well, I sun danced for many, many years at Big Mountain in the desert in Arizona. So that was a real test, to be dancing on hot sand in the desert.
Come home, burned to a crisp.
Yeah. When I first went into prison, we didn't have the pipe. We didn't have in the feds. And we weren't allowed anything. And so I put in for, having a religious ceremony. And their response was clear up from Washington, said that I would never have our religious rights in federal prison. And I said, okay, that's what we want to play. We already had court deals and everything, but I said, I'll push this on a little faster. So I went on a 42-day fast. Me and two other Indians. We didn't take nothing, no water, no nothing. And they started backing up because they knew we were serious. And the thing was, they were threatening to force feed us, but if you, we did a lot of research on this stuff. And that before we went, did anything, you know. And if you say it's a religious fast, because they got to do that, because Christians do that too, so they can't just say, I can have fast, but you can't, you know, they can't do that. So we said it was a religious fast, so they couldn't force me to come, but they sure threatened us. And 42 days, had rushed everything up, we had demonstrations all over, we had even had Indians in different prisons demonstrating, and we got the sweat lodge into the federal system. So.
And that was in Washington.
Washington, what?
Wait, where you had that, the sweat lodge?
No, I was in prison.
I know, in prison. Were you in prison in Washington State or no. Fort with the Fort Lodge? No, this was after the Wounded Knee.
Never, I was never in prison. I was in jail a couple times for hot rodding and like this, drag racing. You know, nothing really serious. I was never into the criminal scene. You know, so I didn't go. I didn't get into prison. So when I got in, it was all new. It was all new to me. I didn't know what the hell I was going into. I didn't know what. One of the things I did when I went to Canada, see, I went to Canada for a reason. We didn't understand why we got indicted. Because none of our people were rats, were snitches. Really dedicated to the cause of our people. So it was real hard to get one of our people to turn over. There was a few, don't get me wrong. And then there was a few that were Christians, and they were easier because we were, to them, we were evil devils, communists, and shit like this, right? And that we should accept termination. As their belief was we should accept termination because our people were wrong and their people should have, basically what they're saying, our people should have never been born. And we believed the opposite. And we were practicing the opposite. And we continued to hang on to our culture and our religion and stuff. All of our American Indian movement ideologies and everything was passed on from the people, generations before us. We didn't create it. We didn't create it. It just passed on from generation to generation. And so that's what we practice, and those were our goals, to bring in to stop the termination of our nations, to stop take the Indian out of the Indian, because they tried to brainwash us into believing that we were animals and all this other stuff. And when you look at the history of us, our people, we build monuments over here. Savages don't build monuments. We had the best health service in the world, society service, the best. We didn't have plagues over here, over there in Europe. What, 150, 200 million people at a time were dying from plagues, Wasn't happening over here, right? Now, there's evidence, been out there for about 50 years, or my dad, or even a little bit longer. We were even fired.
Unknown caller.
We were even practicing.
We were in boarding school. We met after 50 years. He was sitting here, we were talking about the boarding school days. And, of course, he clarified what I've been preaching about it, so good to hear that. There was a lot of people, I don't think, I was treated good there. Yeah, the teacher's pets, sure, the ones that were getting molested, it was heaven for them, I guess. But those of us that weren't, we were rebellious, wasn't heaven to us. We were beaten and all kinds of bullshit. I almost died there at 10 years old, by the way. I tried to escape from there. Fell in the river ice, but almost drowned. Yeah. In 76, I think, or 77, National Geographic uncovered some evidence of in Peru, one of the sites that they excavated, and they found evidence there that the people were doing brain surgery, and then also later in the Mayan, and some of one of the Mayan tools. I mean, we're not talking about the type, the tools are different, everything like this, and everything was, it's a different time, different culture, of course, different everything, methods, medical methods, so, we didn't have syringes, we didn't have all that stuff, right, but the way I found out, not only from the National Geographic article they did it and the pictures they showed of it, but I was the head of security in on Pine Ridge and the Porcupine. We used to have a powwow there that kept all the drunks away and all that stuff, but wouldn't let them on the grounds and stuff. So we were staying at the Bigfoot Ranch, and what we used to do in the spring or fall, we turn all the horses loose, let the horses go running out all winter. Then we get to go gather them up in the spring. They'd be half wild, and they had this stud, big old gray stud, big old horse. And he was the stallion of the herd, right? And he was mean as hell. He had scars all over him. And you could only control him if you put a certain bit in his mouth, right? If you put just a regular bit in his mouth, you couldn't control him, and he terrorized it. And so I used to tell, there was a lot of Indians coming back from their families that went on relocation and everything like this, and they started coming hanging around us in the cities and American Indian women and stuff. And so that. A bunch of them came down from Seattle with me. That's where I'm living. Then I moved to see it back to South Dakota. My mother is a Lakota. She's from the Dakota Ranch of the Lakota Nation. She's from Spirit Lake. And my dad's from here, Chippewa. Anyway, we had these horses there half a while now. So I was called to go do something. And I used to ride the stallion all the time because I knew how to ride horses. And I told those guys, I said, especially my partner, Bob Free, who's still alive today, and I still he's still affected from this whole little incident I'm talking about. Anyway, I told them, I said, listen, I got to go over here and I got to find out what's going on over here. I'll be probably gone for an hour or two. I said, so leave these horses alone. Don't bother until I get back. And we'll saddle them up and do whatever, you know, whatever. But that stallion, do not put just a regular bridle on him. I'm telling you, this guy is dangerous. And some of them got you, man, I'm an Indian. I know how to ride. Or it says, I know. I said, you don't know man, shut up. So anyway, so I go, you know, take care of whatever I had to do. I forget what it was. Some kind of conflict going on. So anyway, we was coming down, going towards Bigfoot Ranch. Here come these horses, full blast, man, and the stallion in the front. He's leading all the rest of where they're following them. So we spun around, went back down to the grounds, and surrounded the grounds there, because it was, what, 6, 7, 8 of us cars, and all we all got out because we wanted to put those horses in the circle, right? And he come riding in there, and that horse is bucking, man. He's just strong. He wants to throw Bob 3 off his back, man. He's fucking, all of a sudden, Bob comes flying up out the back, and then he pushes, kicks back up, kicks him right in the forehead. Ooh. And so we ran to the hospital in Pine Ridge, and they told us, we don't have the facilities here. We don't have the Rapid City won't take it. These white folks won't take us to the hospitals, right? So one of the things we did in Seattle, we built a new hospital and left the old hospital vacant. So we took it over and built an Indian hospital there. So we had all kinds of different doctors coming in there, volunteering there. It was a pretty good little hospital there. So we said, well, we got to do something. We'll put him in Bob's spot. He's half knocked out or half dazed, and he's awake, but he's hurt. And so we said, well, one thing we can do, gas up those cars. Let's take him back to Seattle. So we shot back to Seattle, and doctors treated him, got him going, got him ready to operate, right? So Bob said, before you start operating on my brain, he said, I want to know how the hell, where did you learn this at? And he looked at the doctor, looked at him, and he said, don't you know? And he said, no, I don't know. I wouldn't be asking you. He said, we learned this in the medical school. We learned this from the natives. We said, yeah. He said, yeah. You don't know that about your people? This is a brain surgery to tell you. So they went in, they had to drill a hole in the head and drain the blood out and everything. He still has problems to this day, but he saved his life, right?
Wow.
So that's how we found out. So we had to do a brain surgery to tell me.
Yeah. Wow.
But they didn't tell us that in school.
No, they didn't tell us a lot of things in school. And I know when I learned so much and I would share it on the radio, mm-hmm. and I remember maybe 35 years ago talking about boarding schools, and people would say, I never heard about that. That's not true, Agnes.
Yeah, I know.
People just did not want to believe, and
we had the best agricultural system in the world here. Best. Over there in Europe, they're still eating meat and wheats and stuff. Over here, we have tomatoes, potatoes, corn, onions, whatever Mother Earth produced, we domesticated it, our agriculture system. We had the best irrigation system going on, too. Salt Lake Indians have recreated them, and we got their crops going back in the desert right now. They've been doing that for about 15 years now, maybe even longer. But they got a hell of a career, and the crops are growing, and the desert is blooming, mm-hmm. you know. So, yeah, we had a pretty advanced society. Yeah. Every tribe created their own language, you know, and we all believed in one God, the Great Spirit. We knew that one God was out there, not a bunch of, I don't want to keep saying it. You know who I'm talking about.
Well, I know. I just really have the belief that, especially now, and things,
to the people around me, you know, the white people are like, oh my God, the politics and Trump and all this, and I'm just like, you know, our people, I mean, they took our land, our language, they put us in boarding schools, they've done everything, made us walk across the world, you know, across the country. And we're still here, and we're surviving.
Thousands, millions of us died.
And
millions.
We're still here.
Yep.
You know, and, you know, Ann Coulter can say all she wants about, you know, that we didn't kill enough Indians, and I'm going, no, you know, we're still here, and we're getting stronger and stronger.
KMUD is a community radio station in the Redwood region of Northern California. Donate to support people-powered radio at kmud.org.
When I hear the stories of the young people.
I know my sacrifice wasn't done for nothing, so that's what really makes me feel good, you know.
Yeah.
But I was worried about it. I was worried about over the years. I mean, I could have got out. I wasn't supposed to spend... That's when I went to Canada. Canada said, we're not letting them go because there ain't no evidence. And they said, you know, somebody has... After my co-defendants were found not guilty by reasons of self-defense before an all-white Christian conservative jury. These were supposed to be Indian-hating juries, right? But they were allowed to... What happened is what we found out, what happened was that the judge was named Fast Eddie. That was his nickname. He would take an Indian and put him for just a short trial and put him right in prison, right? So he got the name Fast Eddie. And that's why they transferred all them cases over there to Fast Eddie's court. They figured this will get convictions on the agents right away and boom, bam, you know, whatever, and everything's covered up. So anyway, what we found out later was that his wife told him, you know what, I want to know what's going on with those Indians. Why are they rising up like that? Somebody's not telling us the truth. I want to know what happened. I want a fair trial for those two, my co-defendants, right? And so did his daughter. His daughter said the same thing. So that's how they basically got a fair trial. Because I guess the wife told, you know, I know a lot, and I will start talking. Because they're all corrupt. I'm in place where I can make $80,000 a year back in the days, and all of a sudden they're multi-millionaires.
Yeah.
But they're getting that money.
Yeah.
And then all that power. Ooh. So anyway, that's how they got a fair trial.
So have you seen Dino or talked to him?
He was here for a couple of days, for about a week. Yeah. Canada wasn't going to let me go. Canada said, there is no evidence. We have a treaty with these Indians, and you got to produce some evidence before we can send them back. So they produced this murder poor bear who I've never met in my life, and it's been repeatedly exposed that she was a fabricated witness, even admittance by the prosecutors and judges and everything. So there should be no doubt that she was a fabricated witness. You know, we got the records of it. I got a whole garage full of records of all that stuff.
Someone with 8413 Elliot said, "Thanks for getting back to me."
What? What did she say? So they weren't going to send me back. They said, no, there's no evidence. And we have to get under the treaty, J treaty, we have to give them, sanction over here. And so we were fighting for evidence after what we discovered. We wanted to know what kind of evidence they had. And I got a lot of it. We sent it to the lawyers for Bob and Dino's trial, and that gave them, opened up some doors and how to get this evidence, how to get what was available. So it helped. Then I tried to come back because I wanted to go to trial with them, and they wouldn't let me. So I spent 10 months in solitary with there. And the lawyers that came up to defend me were they asked me, they said, well, Leonard, how do you want us to defend you? I said, well, I want you to defend me through the treaty rights. But the main thing, what do you need in here? Whether it's something to sell with no light, try to help get me a goddamn light in my cell and like this. I said, you can do all that stuff. But in the meantime, I said, I am totally legally illiterate. I need you to send me up some students every day, and I want them to give me the same education they had, they're getting in their little law schools. And so for 10 months, they came up every day, and I couldn't defend myself when I tried to do. They wouldn't let me. 10 months, I got a fast education on how the law system, because basically they're the same laws in Canada as here in the United States. Yeah. So when I got here in the United States, the magistrate was trying to appoint some lawyer, and I said, I don't know this guy. I didn't ask this guy to represent me. I got a right to, he said, well, are you indigenous? I said, yeah. But I said, I have a right to choose who my lawyers are. And I have a right to defend myself. I'm defending myself. No, you've got to have this lawyer. The court's going to appoint this lawyer. I said, no, you're not going to appoint this lawyer. You better understand it right now. You're not going to tell me who my lawyer is going to be. So this lawyer, too, he was, I'll get your treat. I'll defend you with everything. I promise you. I said, I don't even know you. I said, what case have you done to help Indians? And he wouldn't answer me. He said, well, these are so many. I said, no, there ain't. These prisons are getting full of Indians. Your little lawyer, I sure the fuck don't want you. So Bruce Ellison stepped up and said, we got this, Your Honor, from the Wounded Knee Defense Committee.
Yeah.
So that's how that happened. But instead of laying on her in that cell not doing anything, I made them educate me on how the system works, on how the law works. So, and I've been fighting them ever since.
Yeah, and
I've been exonerated over 14 times.
Wow.
Yeah, exonerated. Ronald Reagan promised to let me go. Yeah. Fucking Ronald Reagan. Here's what happened. So, of course, they always claimed that Ain was a communist and all this other shit. But that's not true, of course, but I don't have nothing against communists. Never did, never will. They ain't done nothing to us. Anyway, from day one, my people came to rescue me. As soon as I got to make that phone call, they said, we're on our way. We're coming right now. And the big group came out of Seattle to British Columbia. And my mom was there, my cousins were there, and stuff like that. And plus about 50 people, I think, came across the border. And they had to educate the Indians in British Columbia, because they thought that they were listening to all the news, how the mad dog killer executed their agents in cold blood. There ain't no evidence. Nobody testified in the trial. I did not any such thing. That's why. So they were there from the beginning, the native people. Okay, so at that time, they were having what's called the World's Agricultural Fair. You ever hear that? Where the whole world comes together and has a fair of each country, but showing off their agricultural equipment and crops and all this other shit, right? Well, they were having it there in British Columbia. And the world, of course, was there. And there's this communist from Russia media. And they said, I asked them, I said, well, how did you guys get involved? And they said, well, we were running around looking, we said, we were taking pictures of every machine they had, and every agriculture machine, combines, tractors, and he said, we got bored with that. And we was wondering, oh, damn. you know, we want something newsworthy, like this. And they said, all of a sudden they heard some drum. And all of a sudden coming around this corner was about 500 Indians beating drums with signs, free lunch, go dinner. I said, we went over there, and this was only there about 2 weeks, but this time. So we went over there, and, oh, that's cool. So they went over there and started interviewing them. And then they started, I told them, I said, if you want to do a honest article about Native Americans, you'll listen to me. If not, go get away from me. You ain't no different than a fucking capitalist. And they promised me they would do that. And so they started researching. But they already knew a lot. I'm not going to say I was a soul guy. They already knew a hell of a lot of history about Native people. And so they started basically what the American Indian movement was involved in and stuff like this here. And they said, Jesus Christ. This guy's, you know, there ain't no evidence against this guy whatsoever. So they started supporting my case. Anyway, so the world, now this is the truth, sure, this is true. This ain't, I'm not trying to say I'm some kind of hero. That's not what I'm saying. But countries, both countries, the American government and its democracies, and communism were bumping heads. Remember this, Steve? You better be old enough to remember this. Remember this in the 60s and 70s? We were on the verge of a nuclear war here, and nobody was going to win. Nobody. They had thousands of bombs. We had thousands of bombs. And it was nobody was going to win. This was going to be the destruction of the earth if the war took place. So, somebody.
WhatsApp +39331111182 68. Good morning. I am the Ayn on the right.
Yeah. What'd she say? Okay. Anyway, so they're bumping heads. They're threatening each other. Oh, you're fascist. Oh, you're communist. You're all that back and forth. Remember though, they were bumping heads, threatening nuclear war and stuff. So somebody got together, I think of the United Nations and all them people got together and said, hey, we got to do something here. We got to stop this before, because one little bomb goes off and they're going to start, both sides are going to start firing these thousands and thousands of bombs that they know and admit it having, both sides. Okay. So they created the summit in Helsinki.
Helsinki.
Ronald Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So they have this, one of my lawyers at the time, his name is Marty Garbus. He's probably one of the top lawyers in the country. Very, very active. And he couldn't get into the hearing, but they had a big demonstration in the front of it to stop, come to a conclusion, stop this near destruction of Mother Earth for this year, supporting some kind of to come out and stop the whole thing, right? And so he was out there, but he had connections with some of Reagan's inside administration, right? So this aide came out until during the break. Come out and told Marty what was happening. This is how we know what was going on. And Marty told us. So he said, the aide said, first Mikhail Gorbachev came in, sat down, and they had all their paperwork, and these aides are sitting right there. And then here comes Ronald Reagan, you know, the showboat Ronald Reagan, tell you the god. And they come walking in there, and he did the same thing. Then all of a sudden he jumps up and tell Mikhail Gorbachev, he said, you have an innocent man in jail over there, Alexander, you wrote the book, the Gulag, about the prison system.
Oh, right, yes.
You know who that is?
Solzhenitsyn.
Okay, yeah. I don't know how to say the name. So, he said, you got an innocent man over there, Alexander, and he just wrote a book. you know, turn him loose before we can even start discussing anything. So Miguel Gorbachev told him, what are you talking about? You got an innocent man over there in jail too. His name is Leonard Peltier. And there's no evidence he committed any crimes. So they started arguing, oh, he's guilty. No, he's guilty. He's guilty. Well, your man's guilty. So the aide says, one of somebody else jumped up and said, gentlemen, why don't you guys come to a conclusion? He said, we are in a meeting here to possibly save the world from a nuclear disaster. Why don't you guys just let each man go in your country and let's get on with saving the world? So Mikhail Gorbachev told him, sure, I'm all for that. That's why I'm here. And Reagan said, well, me too. So Mikhail Gorbachev told his aide, he said, call over there, tell him, I said, turn all of them loose now. Well, he got turned loose. Reagan said, well, we got procedures we have to follow. And as soon as those procedures are taken care of, I'll sign them and we'll let Peltier go. Well, I never did get out, so,
yeah.
You know, we never reneged on that.
All right, well, I'm going to end it there because it's a good place to end. I will definitely play more next week. Sorry for the glitches. It was all recorded on my phone, but I want you to know that, you know, it was more to that story about Russia, Tony Gonzalez, Neelak Butler, and another native had actually gone to Moscow and, you know, pleaded their case there about Leonard Peltier. A lot was done at the United Nations, so it wasn't just a haphazard thing that just happened. You know, it was a long preparation, and of course, Reagan never planned on releasing Leonard, and wow. I want to make mention this Saturday. There's a lot of things happening, but one of the things that is happening is the California Native American Day. And up in the Bear River Recreation Area up there in Lolita, they're going to have a big celebration from 10 in the morning till 6 p.m. There's going to be dancers, crafts, vendors, food vendors, bounce houses, Indian tacos, basketball, men and women's gambling, a whole lot of fun. So if you feel like going out to Lolita and celebrate California Native American Day, that is happening. Also, a lot of stuff down here, including the Bryson Fire Department, and also at the library from 2 to 4, if you're into jigsaw puzzles, there will be our swap. You just bring your old ones in, and they're all on the table there, and you just, you know, put yours down and take what you want, and it's just a real fun event. And it's, you know, I know a lot of people in the wintertime do jigsaw puzzles, so I wanted to mention that. And I am going to close with the Lakota, from Lakota Land, the Porcupine Singers. This is a birthday song. And again, Leonard Peltier's birthday is this coming Friday. And this song pretty much translates to you save the person's name. So that would be Leonard, take heart. Your friends are coming saying this, take heart. There will be hard times all over the land. But, you know, it's your birthday. So, yeah. Happy birthday, Leonard.
Hey, hi.
This has been a KMUD podcast. To listen to other shows and more episodes of this show, find us on all the platforms where you get your podcast and also on our website, kmud.org.